1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 10 or 12 through 16 have already been read. You were listening, I'm sure. And so that verse 12 says, remember, Paul tells young Timothy. So this is old man Paul talking to young Timothy. They had at least a relationship of 25 or 30 years together. We think that Timothy was saved on Paul's first missionary journey, and he didn't enlist him right at that time. On the second missionary journey, they came back, and he asked the older men of the church, how's Tim doing these days? Oh, he's active in youth group. He's in the Word. He's one of the leaders of the youth group. He's always volunteering to help. He has a real servant's heart, and he's growing in the Lord. And Paul and Silas, remember on the second missionary journey, there was a sharp dispute between Paul and Barnabas, because on the first missionary journey, John Mark had to go home. Remember, he got sick, homesick, and missed his mommy or something like that. And it probably cost him some money to send him home. So when the second missionary journey came up, Paul said, he's not going. He'll wimp out on us again. And Barnabas, being his cousin, blood is always thicker than water, right? He said, no, I want him to go. And it says there was a sharp contention that grew up between Paul and Barnabas. So Barnabas and John Mark go in one direction, Paul and Silas now go in the other direction, and then they enlist Timothy on the second missionary journey because he's grown in his faith. And his mom, Eunice and Lois, his mom and grandma, they realized our son needs some male influences in his life. And if you're facing death, like Paul said, he faced death almost daily, that will improve your prayer life too. See, if he has some hardship in his life. So that's when Timothy came along. So this is the first letter that Paul wrote to young Timothy. And you already heard verse 12. He said to Timothy, don't let people look down on you because you're young, but instead be an example of the believers. And he gave him six categories. He says, in your words, in your conduct, in your faith, in your love, in purity. And I forgot the last one. He says, be an example of the believers. That used to be my favorite verse. Man, nobody's laughing. Because it says, don't let people look down on you because of your youth. Compared to Methuselah, I'm young. Compared to Moses, I'm about middle age. But I don't qualify for young anymore, so I had to change it. At the beginning of chapter 4, we won't go back to that, but Paul is telling Timothy, in the latter times, there's going to be a lot of false teaching. There's going to be a lot of heresy, people falling away from the Lord. It's going to prevail even in the churches. It's going to be energized by Satan. They're going to lead people astray. They're going to be hypocrites themselves. They're even going to deny God's word. They're not going to follow God's word. And so, Timothy, you need to be strong. One of the verses I heard read this morning said, in verse 10, he says, we are putting our hope in the living God. Timothy, that's what we're going to do. We're going to put our hope in the living God. If I had a sermon title this morning, it would be The Man of God or The Woman of God and Your Ministry. Okay? What is your ministry going to be all about? So here's old man Paul talking to young Tim. Mark Twain said, when he says, be an example of the believers in your words, your conduct, love, spirit, faith. Mark Twain said, there's few things that are harder to deal with than the annoyance of a good example. See, isn't that true? If somebody's just a great example in every area, I can't measure up to that. But that's what Paul told Timothy, you need to do. Don't let people, I remember when I was a kid, well, you're too young to do that. You're too young to do that. You're too young to, see, there's some things you're too young to do. Now, when I get older, there's some things that my kids say, don't do that. We have a high chandelier. It's not quite as high as these, but I get up on the step ladder and my kids, you are forbidden to get up on the second step from the top. You can't go that high. You're going to fall off and kill yourself. So when a grandson comes, they'll do that. So right now we have two lights out in the chandelier in the living room, but I can't do it. So they wait for a grandson. He emphasizes the word of God in verse 13. If you have your Bibles, you can look at that again with me. He says in verse 13, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Give attendance means devote yourself to it. Be absorbed in it. Public reading of the word. I was glad that the public reading of the word of God was done this morning. See, he says that's one of the things that you need to do all the time is publicly read the word of God. Remember in Acts chapter 6, the church was growing so fast, the apostles couldn't keep up with all the responsibilities. And so they said, we're going to appoint deacons to wait on tables, to take care of the Sunday school, to take care of special services, maybe, to take care of the food pantry, to take care of the women's. I love the women's group at Helmer. I think it's a little inactive right now, but it was called the DWWC. It stood for Do What We Can. Isn't that a great name for a women's organization? The DWWC, Do What We Can. They had somebody to be in charge of that. Because it says, the apostles said, we have to be involved in two things, prayer and ministering the word of God. I still teach at a Christian school in Yorkville. My students have to do 8 hours of Christian service per quarter. So I say to them, that means they have to work for somebody for nothing. And it can't be cleaning your room. It can't be doing your family's dishes. You can help your grandparents. You can help a neighbor. I say to them, does your pastor have little kids? Babysit for him for nothing. Your pastor shouldn't be mowing his yard. You go over there and mow his yard. He's supposed to be doing prayer and ministering the word. You take care of those other little responsibilities for him. Just volunteer. See? Volunteer. You help him. The pastor and the man of, now I'm not telling you men, remember the title is, Man of God, Your Ministry, Don't Tell Your Wife. Davidson said, you need to mow the grass all the time because I'm praying. I'm in the air conditioning, I'm praying in the house, you need to mow the grass. I didn't say that. Don't forget that. But the man of God, his ministry is prayer and ministering the word. How do you minister the word? All kinds of different ways. Exhortation means encouragement. See? It means encouragement. Read the word. Explain it. Apply it. See? That's our responsibility in regard to our kids. We'll do doctrine later. Verse 14 says, don't neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. We think that Timothy had the same spiritual gift that Paul did, preaching. But he was neglecting it. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, the last letter Paul ever wrote, he says, stir up the spiritual gift within you. It seems like Timothy was neglecting his gift of preaching. Remember, he tells him in another place, he says, preach the word in season, out of season. Preach the word, Timothy. You've been given the gift of preaching. You need to preach the word. Use your spiritual gifts. The word here for spiritual gifts is charisma, which means a gracious gift from God. 1 Peter 4:10 says, every single Christian has at least one spiritual gift, at least one. We use charisma to define a person with kind of a magnetic personality, and kind of a commanding presence. We say, well, he has charisma. See, wouldn't that be good if every Christian presented Jesus in his life that way to other people? See, present it with charisma. That Jesus is really important in my life, and I want you to know all about him. It's amazing to me to consider that when God calls us, he gives us a spiritual gift, he gives us the gift of his Holy Spirit, and he equips us then to do the work. I don't know if I've told you before, but in high school, my worst class was speech class. I hated getting in front of people. I had no confidence. I would stumble and stammer and everything else, worse than I am now. But I just couldn't do it. I wanted to be a teacher, but I didn't think I could do it because I was afraid to get in front of people. Isn't that crazy? But when God called me to be a teacher, then he equips you to do that. See, he equips you then to be able to do what he calls you to do. Nothing in ourselves, it's from the Lord. You have to cultivate your gifts, use them, and keep on developing those gifts. It's like an athlete. See, if an athlete never practices, he probably is going to get worse in his game. We have one of my grandsons living with us this summer. I'll talk about him later. But he's a basketball player. So he told me yesterday, he said, and he's a shooter. He said, I got up 500 shots yesterday. If you shot 500 times, you'd be a pretty good shooter too. If you shot 500 times every day, you'd be a pretty good shooter. See, the same thing is true with the Christian. If we don't devote ourselves, if we don't use our spiritual gifts, if we don't devote ourselves, be absorbed in the Word, our life isn't going to be much as a Christian. See, that's what he's talking about to men and women. In verse 15, he says, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress will be made known to everybody. Everybody will see it. Devote yourself fully to Christ. Meditate has with it the idea of be in this, give yourself totally to this. There's no growth in the Christian life unless we're dedicated to making it happen. See, we have to be in the Word. We have to be able to use the Word and grow in the Word. Remember, Matthew 6:24 says, nobody can serve two masters. Who is the master? We wrote a lot of graduation cards this year to seniors. The last several years, if I gave you a graduation card, I'm going to put in there Matthew 6:33. I think that's one of the secrets to life. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and God will add to that the other things you need. It's a great verse, isn't it? It's simple in life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things God will add to it. He'll take care of that. He'll take care of the thing. He'll take care of your needs. Not all the greedy things you want, but he'll take care of the needs. Food, shelter, clothing. He'll take care of that. But not all the crazy things we think we need. And he says, when that happens, your progress will be evident to all people. I have the privilege of teaching 9th and 10th graders in Bible. I teach them for 2 years. So the first year is Paul's epistles, so like this one. The second year is the Gospel of John. And then for about 60% of the year, and then 40% of the year, it's the Christian life. How do you live the Christian life? The Christian family life, how do you live that? The progress a student makes from the beginning of his freshman year to the end of his sophomore year, if they're in the Word, is astounding. It's just astounding. Some kids, I had a girl at graduation, she came as a freshman, she said, same came as a sophomore. She was a valedictorian of her class. And she said, when I came to your class, I'd never really opened the Bible. I'd never really studied the Bible. And she graduated and she said, I want to become a math teacher in a Christian school because now the Lord is foremost in the most important thing in my life. Valedictorian. She could have taught most of the math classes herself. That's how bright she is. But she had no background in Christianity at all. None. That's the blessing. See, but then when she gets in the Word, her progress is evident to everybody. And that's what he says. Finally, in verse 16, he says, take heed of yourself and your doctrine. Continue in them. And by doing this, you will both save yourself and people that are hearing you. Notice he puts first yourself before he puts doctrine. Take heed of yourself, Timothy. Take an inventory of yourself. How are you doing in your walk with the Lord? In Acts 20:28, Paul said, take heed, therefore, of yourself. He told him that before. Repetition's a great teacher. You can't be effective if we neglect the Word of God, if we neglect our spiritual gifts. We can't be effective. The great American evangelist of the late 1800s, Charles Finney, said, when preaching on this text, he said, preacher, save yourself. Save yourself. Take heed. I don't believe that I can take my kids, my grandkids, I can't take them spiritually any further than what I've gone. Isn't that true? I can't take them any further than what I've gone. So it's important to be in the Word. My grandson, Marcus, who is the fourth son out of six sons that my son Mark and his wife Lisa, you've been praying for Mark, and I thank you for that. The last scan says this chemo pill he's taking appears to be working. And he has another scan on June 22nd. That'll be 2 months after the first one. So we're praying that this is working and these tumors in his lungs are shrinking and they even drive this cancer into remission. He said, unbelievable opportunities to witness. Everybody that knows basketball and lives in Illinois, lives in Indiana. Everybody that knows basketball and lives in Indiana, they know my son has cancer and they know he's a Christian. His team won the state championship for 2A for the second year. They won in 19. COVID shut them down in 20, but they would have had a good chance to win. And they won again this year. At the state tournament, he had a standing ovation. The announcer broke down when he was talking about my son and his cancer. He was crying. The whole gym knows he's a Christian. Sports Spectrum just did a nice podcast on him. But he tells them, I'm trusting in the Lord. Great opportunities that he's had to witness for the Lord. So he says, examine your life. Examine your life. What's it all about? Then he says, take heed of your doctrine, of your teaching. What are you teaching? So I was preparing for this. And Marcus, the fourth son of my son's six sons, he's living with us this summer. He just graduated from Black Hawk Christian in Fort Wayne. And I still have a seal coating business. An old band doing that. What are you thinking, you idiot? And because I want to have a relationship with my grandkids. When we started the business 30 years ago, it was a partner and my two sons. Then we added my son-in-law. Then both of my sons moved and my son-in-law moved. My partner's still with me. And then we worked with my stepson, Sig's son Justin, for 3 years. Then I worked with a grandson for 4 years. Then another grandson for 4 years. And now this is another grandson, and he needs money for college. He's going to go to Grace College in Warsaw, Indiana. So he needs money. So I'm preparing the message. He knew I was speaking here today. And he said, what are you speaking on? And I said, I'm going to speak on doctrines of the church. Which ones do you have? So I gave him the four that I had. And he said, I just took a senior class at Black Hawk Christian called The Essentials of Christianity. I'm going to give you two more. So I'm giving him partial credit for this sermon. What are the doctrines? Number one is the authority of Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration from God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture is God-breathed. All of it. It's all true. How many have denied today all the different doctrines of the church? Secondly, the deity of Christ. If you read John chapter 14, we don't have time, verses 1 through 14, Jesus Christ got in trouble. I teach the book of John every other year. Jesus Christ got in trouble for two things with the Pharisees. You're working on the Sabbath. And you are claiming to be God. That's blasphemy. I say Jesus Christ was God. Jesus Christ still is God. And he's seated right now on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And he sent the Holy Spirit to intercede for us, to help us. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. How many people deny that today? The Bible says Jesus Christ was crucified on Good Friday. He rose again on Sunday, on Easter Sunday. And then he was on the earth for 40 more days before he ascended into heaven. The Bible says he appeared to all the apostles. Then Paul says, last to me, and I'm the least of the apostles because I was called after the others and I persecuted the church, but it was out of ignorance. And it says, then he appeared to over 500 witnesses at one time. And we still today try to deny the resurrection. Number four, man's sinful nature. Most psychology today says, hey, man is basically a good guy. And if you give him more education, you give him he'll be good. Remember, I'm still a White Sox fan. This year I brag about it. But when I used to go to Comiskey Park even, or U.S. Cellular Field, now it's Guaranteed Rate Field, I go in 55 to the Dan Ryan, go south, 31st Street, park. Across the Dan Ryan used to be the Robert Taylor Homes. Because under Lyndon Johnson and the Great Society, they said, man is basically good. If you just change his environment, change his surroundings, he'll be good. All that did is get the gangs closer together so they could shoot each other easier. That's all it did. They're gone now. Up by Moody, there was Cabrini Green. Same thing. Just change his environment. Man is good. Just give him a better environment. No. Man's problem is wherever he goes, he takes himself with. And we're sinful, and we need Jesus. See, we're sinful. We need Jesus in our life. So, man's sinful nature. Psalm 51:5 says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, that means sin, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I'm born with a sinful nature. I have some younger grandkids. The youngest grandkid is 4. They're selfish. If a cousin comes over, he'll say, no, that's my stuff. I had a couple grandkids when they were younger. If they knew their cousins were coming over, they'd hide their good toys. I don't want them playing with that. I don't want them playing with that. They'd hide them so they couldn't play with it. I don't have to teach a kid to be selfish. The sinful nature is in every single one of us. 5. We're saved by faith. You've heard this before from me. I thought till I was 22 years old, I thought that I could be good enough to qualify for heaven. I thought God had a report card. I did believe in God. But if I did go to church, it was to a liberal church that didn't teach me anything about salvation. Until I started dating my first wife at Platteville Lutheran. And G.J. Ostrom was the pastor then. And then after that was Bill Ostroot, who's my current wife's dad. That is the strangest thing in the world, that when I'm in college, my second wife's dad is the pastor at the church I'm going to. And finally, I became a Christian at age 22. But I thought God had a report card. And my Christianity was don'ts. I didn't smoke. I didn't drink. Didn't chew tobacco. Didn't go with a girl who would chew tobacco. That'd really be bad. But see, it was just a bunch of don'ts. Don't. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to man, but the end of that is destruction. And I was heading down that road. I thought I was good enough. No, I wasn't good enough. Somebody said to me, well, Jesus didn't have to die for you then, right? That kind of puts you in your place, doesn't it? Kind of puts you right in your place. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift from God, not by works, lest any man should boast. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name. Romans 10:9, if I confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I can be saved. That's the message we need to keep on proclaiming, people. That's the message. The sixth one is the Trinity. A lot of people don't believe in the Trinity. When Jesus left the earth, when he ascended to heaven, the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19, he said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Trinity, the doctrines of the church, the teachings of the church, we can't let them fall through the cracks. Those all have to be foremost in every church. Think of how many Christian colleges, seminaries, churches have let go of those doctrines. My wife and I pray for these ministries every day. I pray for Aurora Christian because I spent 33 years there. And they give me a real nice retirement check, so I don't want them to fall through the cracks. We pray for Timothy Christian in Elmhurst because my older son is a superintendent there. And his wife is in charge of like special events. I pray for Chicago Hope Academy because the grandson that's now going to Paraguay, he taught at Chicago Hope Christian School for 1 year. I pray for Parkview Christian. That's currently where I'm at. I pray for Little Rock Christian because I have a granddaughter that teaches there. I pray for Blackhawk Christian because my son is basketball coach and PE teacher and his wife teaches French at that school. And I pray for Traders Point Christian because my daughter and son-in-law both work there, both teach there. I'm going to start praying for this Christian school in Asuncion, Paraguay, because that's where the son that was at, grandson that was at Chicago Hope, and his wife are going to go to. I pray for Journey to Restoration. That's a counseling ministry in Norway, Illinois, that my wife had the idea for. She's the founder of Journey to Restoration. They ask for just a minimal fee for counseling, and they're full all the time. They meet at Cup of Cold Water headquarters. They rent a room from Cup of Cold Water, but that's where their counseling ministry is located. And I pray for my church, Helmer Lutheran. What do I pray? I pray that they will hold fast to the faithful word as they've been taught. Hold fast to the word of God. Hold fast to these doctrines. Paul said in the end times, in 2 Timothy 3, says in the end times, they're perilous times. It's going to be tough times. Our job is to hang tough, do everything we can to keep the word of God foremost. I believe that time is short. The Lord's coming back soon. Every generation's thought that, by the way. And that makes you more passionate when you're teaching your kids. If you think the Lord's coming back, Luke 12:40 says, he's coming at a time when you don't think. Most of us didn't get up this morning thinking, I wonder if the Lord's coming back in this beautiful day today. I wonder if he's coming back today. He said he's coming back in a time when people aren't thinking about it. I believe the time is short. Titus 2:10, the last part of Titus 2:10 says, we ought to adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. That's our job. So I'd say to every one of us this morning, I'm speaking to myself too, save yourself and those that are hearing you. Save yourself, save those that hear you. That's all our job. Some of you have big families. Some of you have an extended ministry other places. Save yourself, save those that hear you. God bless you. Thank you, Lord, for this time. I pray that you would enable each one of us to have that dedication, that perseverance, that determination to be in the Word, to be in the Word, to be a witness for Jesus Christ, to not just say, well, we're just going to retire and not do anything anymore for the Lord. The opportunities are enormous. There's a lot of people today that need the Lord. Antidepressant medicines, suicide, alcoholism, all those things went skyrocketing during COVID. There are a lot of people need answers. And when we're Christians, we have the answers. And we have the contacts. We have contacts with people that really need the Lord. So I pray that you'd give us the courage we need, the knowledge we need of the Word of God in order to be able to do these, to take care of these responsibilities you call us to. Equip us for the work of the ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.